This is Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, and Henry Frayne at the controls this morning. In this part of Focus 580, we will be talking about time travel. Now, I'm sure that right off, you will think, well, isn't this just something that is an interesting idea to play with? It's a lot of fun, and certainly people who have written fiction, particularly science fiction, have been playing with that idea at least as far back as The Time Machine by H.G. Wells. And really, some people would argue that there are time travel stories that go back even further than that. It is the case, however, that there are some physicists who are actually thinking seriously about time travel. And now this may be thinking that it goes on at a theoretical level, but one of the things that we will talk about here in this part of Focus 580 is the fact that the kinds of ideas people are thinking about these kinds of theoretical ideas, they don't violate any of the laws of physics. So as far as anyone knows, theoretically, it is possible. Our guest for the program is David Toomey. He received his PhD in English Lit from University of Virginia in 1998. He's taught technical writing and nonfiction writing at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst since 2000, and he is the author of a newly published book. The title of his book is The New Time Travelers. The subtitle is A Journey to the Frontiers of Physics. It is published by W.W. Norton and is out now. And questions certainly are welcome as we talk with David Toomey. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455 is the number to call. We do also have a toll-free line that is good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. So 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana, and toll-free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers to call. Mr. Toomey, hello.
Hi.
Thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
You know, this is one of those things where when I saw the book, I was immediately intrigued, and I thought, now, this is a fascinating topic. I think it'd be interesting to talk about. And I've done this before with things that have to do with physics and economics. They're probably both the two things that trip me up the most. And I always regret afterwards. I say, let's do this. And then afterwards that I start sitting down and looking at the material and I start thinking, no, this was a huge mistake. why did I think I wanted to dip my toe into this? So you'll have to bear with me and as I probably try to ask some questions at a very sort of elemental way.
Elemental is wonderful.
All right. Well, I do, and I do think it was fun. You know, the way that you describe, in a sense, getting interested in the subject, referencing back to when you were a boy and you read The Time Machine, and you thought, well, that was a pretty good story, but that you were a little bit frustrated with Mr. Wells because he never explained how the time machine actually worked.
Right. Right. He has a scene at the beginning of the book. In which the time traveler and his dinner guests are discussing the fourth dimension and the possibility of travel through time, and then we are shown the time machine and we enjoy the adventures into the future with the time machine. But Wells never fills in the gap between those, and I had found that disappointing. Immediately upon reading it.
Mm-hmm. And then you also explained that a little later in life, you were also excited and intrigued when a few years ago you learned that, in fact, astrophysicists had really been thinking about this in a serious way, thinking about the, again, what we're talking about here is at the level of theory, but thinking in a serious way about the possibility of time travel and considering the fact that, as far as anybody knew, while it might be extremely difficult, there was nothing that said it's impossible. I suppose there are some people who actually do argue that it's impossible, but a lot of other physicists, we can't really say that it's impossible.
Right. I think it's safe to say the majority of opinion of the majority of theoretical physicists would say we do not know it's impossible. And I was surprised to learn this. There have been the serious study of time travel began properly speaking about 1988, and to date there are probably 300 papers on it in journals like Physical Review D, and there are several other books on the subject. As far as Einstein's theories of relativity are concerned, and those are fairly well-established theories, there's nothing in them says that travel pastward is impossible.
Mm-hmm. So, and really what, I suppose in a sense, the reason that these physicists are thinking about this is it gives them an opportunity to think some more and try to get a better understanding of perhaps the implications of Einstein's ideas, so in a sense it's not so much about time travel as it is again trying to wrap their heads around some difficult theoretical concepts.
Right. Exactly why they're doing this is very interesting. I think there's more than one reason, frankly. Some of your listeners may be familiar with this subject field in general, and know a little bit about quantum mechanics, and some recent books for laypersons on physics talk about the theory of everything, the as yet non-existent theory of everything, sometimes also called a theory of quantum gravity, and that would be a combination of relativity and quantum mechanics. And these inquiries into the possibility of pastward time travel do answer some questions and get us a little closer to a theory of quantum gravity, a theory of everything. Mm-hmm. That is one reason, and I'd have to say that might be the more serious reason. It's also true that the fun of thinking about this is not lost on the physicists. They are very intrigued by the paradoxes of time travel and the just spirit of an inquiry that's both serious and fun at the same time.
I suppose one could make the argument that we are traveling in time right now, and that we always have, in the sense that time is moving and we're moving along, and it is going in one direction. It's going forward. Is it the case that when physicists, though, think about the potential, at least the theoretical potential for traveling in time, that for the most part they're talking about the possibility of traveling back, going backward in time, and not really so much about the possibility of going forward?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I should make that clear. Einstein's theory of special relativity shows us that futureward time travel happens all the time, all around us. We're all doing it. And I don't mean by this just what we think of as living day to day and hour to hour. Some of your listeners may remember what's sometimes called the parable of the twins. It's a little story used to illustrate special relativity. If we have a pair of twins and one twin stays on Earth, the other twin jumps in a rocket ship and travels at a very fast speed, say something near the speed of light, and travels for 10 years as measured by the twin on Earth. When the traveled twin returns, the twin who stayed on Earth will be, of course, 10 years older. The traveled twin, though, do what's called the time dilation effect of special relativity. That is, that traveling back and forth very quickly, very near the speed of light, the traveled twin will have barely aged. So, in effect, he will have traveled into the future. Now, this sort of effect happens all around us all the time. We're all doing it a little bit every time we move. We don't get any real intuitive sense of this because we move so slowly relative to the speed of light. But astronauts and cosmonauts who have been in orbit for lengths of time are actually, upon their return, actually some fractions of a second younger than they would have been otherwise. So they have, in effect, traveled into the future.
We have a caller here to talk with. I will not make them wait. In a nearby community of Belgium, not very far away from us here in Champaign-Urbana, the caller's on line 4. Hello.
Hello. Just not with the question, but that very parable that your guest was talking about was kind of studied by Joe Tanner and his twin brother who live here in the nearby community of Danville, which was a topic of discussion at the time when he was traveling more in space than he is now. But what I wanted to talk to you about is something a little bit even more personal. I live very, very, very close to the state line of Illinois and Indiana. My brother, however, even lives closer. He gets his phone calls from Illinois, and he picks up his mail in Indiana, so he has an Indiana address. Well, when he's in his kitchen, it's noon.
Mm-hmm.
When he picks up his mail, it's 1 o'clock, and they're not very far apart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so essentially, he's time traveling. But is he time traveling? We've discussed this so often, because that happens to be the boundary between Eastern time zone and Central time zone. It's totally a perceived thing when we finally get down and think about it.
Yeah, that's a great question. My answer, I'm afraid, is going to be a bit weak. I think it depends on what you mean by time traveling.
Exactly. That's what we've discussed this time and time again, because it's so strange. He's one of very few people around that lives that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's very close proximity to the state line.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. Postal Service refuses to deliver mail in certain places. So, you know, is that really time traveling? I don't know, but it sure makes you think so.
I think Isaac Newton would say yes. I think Isaac Newton might say probably. I think Einstein would say no.
Yes, I'm afraid so. And another interesting thing is, when he's on his cell phone, he can stand in the Illinois portion, and it says 12 o'clock. You walk over in the Indiana portion, and it says 1 o'clock.
Really?
Yes. They can delineate it that close.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking maybe about 75 feet, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah. Take care.
All right. Thanks for the call. Well, it's funny. It does make me think of a friend of mine years ago for a joke. He was out on the East Coast, and this was on New Year's Eve. And so what he did was he called a friend of his, it wasn't me, I think he called somebody else who was living in the central time zone when it had already been after midnight where he was, where it was the next year. And he called back to talk to his friend in the central time zone because he said he thought he might be interesting to talk, because he thought his friend might like to talk with someone from the future.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you can play little games with that, but I suppose it does kind of get one back to asking that basic question, well, okay, what do you mean by time travel? And I guess thinking about the parable of the twins, this example that the one person stays on the earth, the other person does what we can't do and maybe never can. You know, if you can travel at the speed of light or near, you know that time will move more slowly for that person traveling at that speed relative to the person back at the Earth. So if you do this over as the story goes, you know, you do this for 10 years, you come back, and the person on the Earth will have aged 10 years, and the person who was off on this trip will have aged much, well, not 10 years. But then I'm not even sure this is the right question, but I find myself asking the question, well, though really that person who has gone on the light speed trip, is that really time travel? Since, you know, time where he was, I can't even formulate a question.
It's only, I know what your question is, and it is right. It's the answer is, it's not, we can't call it time travel until he's returned. At some point, at some point on his return voyage, he will effectively be traveling into the future. When he makes that, when he reverses direction, he begins to time travel. When he is far apart, when he's at the furthermost point, if we couldn't really compare their clocks, relativity gets kind of fuzzy here. The short answer, as I said, when he's returned, yes, he's traveled into the future by, I would have to say, by any measure we might imagine.
Our guest in this part of Focus 580 is Dave Toomey, and he has written a book that is titled The New Time Travelers, A Journey to the Frontiers of Physics. It's published by W.W. Norton and takes a look at some of what some physicists are thinking about in regards to the possibility, at least the theoretical possibility, of time travel. And indeed, as he explained, there are some physicists who are thinking about this in a more than just a casual kind of way. The book explains that and some other concepts, so you might want to take a look at it. Questions are also welcome, too. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Well, assuming that we're not going to be able to conduct Einstein's experiment for real, and that the possibility of traveling at or near light speed is something that's going to elude us, at least for the foreseeable future. That's, I guess, one of the problems with the idea of interstellar space travel. We got these enormous distances, and and unless we could go real fast, it's a bit of a problem. So let us assume that we're not going to be able to do that. How else?
Just parenthetically, in fact, we have. I mean, experimental physicists. Have tested it, not by taking anything very fast, but by having very, very accurate clocks. There was a famous experiment done in the 1950s. One physicist took an atomic clock on a round the world airplane flight, and another clock was left at home. And as Einstein would have predicted, upon return, the clock that had been on the plane had in effect traveled into the future.
So
it was a few microseconds slower.
But we can what that says is that we can in fact do an experiment and demonstrate that Einstein was correct.
Right.
Okay. Not suggesting that the idea wasn't correct, but if we say going back to the idea that we're never going to be able to travel at near light speed. I mean, if we can't do that, is there some other way in which physicists are suggesting that, again, perhaps I know I keep saying this, we're talking about a theoretical level, but a way that, in fact, time travel, not forward but back, would actually be possible?
Yeah, and I should note that most of the physicists I'm concerned with in the book are talking about pastward time travel.
Right.
Futureward time travel is a given right now. Futureward travel, as we've discussed it. In 1988, Kip Thorne, a physicist at Caltech, who some of your listeners may have read his book, Black Holes and Time Warps. Kip Thorne at Caltech and a graduate student at that time named Mike Morris wrote a paper about how to construct or how to design a wormhole. And a wormhole we may be familiar with in science fiction. They've been used as devices in countless science fiction stories and motion pictures as shortcuts from one place to another place, a shortcut through space and time. It may come as a surprise to many that Einstein's relativity actually allows for the construction of wormholes. And again, there's nothing about relativity that says wormholes are impossible. So a wormhole has two mouths and a throat that connects the mouths, and the mouths can be anywhere. So if we do what we did with the twins with the mouths of the wormhole, that is, leave one mouth here and move another mouth really fast, say out into space, at say very near the speed of light, bring it back and put it next to the wormhole that stayed home, we'll have created a time machine. Which is to say, say we started this project today, in 2007, and we moved the outward bound and inward bound, the traveling mouth, for 10 years as measured here, as measured by the mouth on Earth. When the other mouth returns, it will be 2017, right? At that date, one could jump into
the moved mouth, the traveled mouth, and would pop out the mouth that stayed home in 2007.
Hmm. But of course, that what that means is that if one is really thinking about in a purposeful way traveling back in time, it means that you can't go back any further than 2007.
Exactly. You can go back only as far as the moment of the machine's creation.
Right.
However, there are ways to get around even that, and the physicists have thought of them. One is the possibility of natural wormholes. There are ideas that in the very early universe, the entire universe was made of quantum foam. Quantum foam being what the topology of space looks like on very, very small scales. And that topology would have every imaginable sort of feature, every kind of bridge and tunnel one could imagine in space-time. And among those features would be wormholes. When this quantum foam expanded to become the universe that we all live in, it's possible that some of those wormholes expanded too, and that they're out there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. It would permit time travel. In a sense, you would, if you could get in on the end where we are, that's in the present time, that then would you then go back to the point where the wormhole came into being?
You could. It would only depend on what moved, what mouth moved relative to the other mouth.
Uh-huh.
So there is this possibility of a natural wormhole. The physicists also, and they are getting into science fiction a bit here, they have also discussed the possibility of artificial wormholes constructed by some hypothetical alien super-civilization. A rather famous one in science fiction was in Carl Sagan's novel Contact, and also the film of the same name starring Jodie Foster of a few years back. The wormhole in that novel and in that film was constructed by an alien civilization, a mysterious alien civilization that has since left the premises, but nonetheless is allowed for use.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller to bring into the conversation. Why don't we do that as we approach our midpoint here? The caller is in Urbana, and it's line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm on shaky ground here, but this is something I've read, that the differential equations that are used to express the laws of classical physics remain just the same if you substitute negative T for T throughout, and there's no difference in how they operate. But isn't the real problem entropy and getting things to run backwards there would take an enormous amount of energy and or information to make anything like that happen? It's highly improbable that I think most people would say it's impossible. I'll hang up. Thank you.
All right.
I think the caller is talking about is sometimes called time's arrow. And he's right. The laws of physics don't distinguish between forward time and a backward time, but entropy does. Which is to say, if you drop an egg, if we film you dropping an egg, and run the film forward and then run the film backward, when you run the film backward, anyone watching the film would know something was weird about this, because eggs don't, shell fragments and yolk don't collect themselves into a whole egg and then rocket upwards into a hand, right?
Yeah.
The entropy suggests that things fall apart. And the listener is quite right to suggest it would take, we could imagine, there's no law of physics that says that egg can't reconstruct itself. It's merely, as we all know, highly improbable. And to do it would take a very unlikely coordination of effects. However, what the physicists I'm concerned with aren't talking about reversing time zero when they're talking about time travel. They are. I don't think any of them is suggesting that would be. That would have any serve any real purpose. What they're talking about is actually traveling pastward.
I guess still, as the caller suggests, the kind of thing, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about how someone thinks you could actually construct a wormhole. But I suppose one of the big, maybe the biggest problem is that, again, you're operating on the theoretical level. To do what is proposed would require so much energy that does indeed, for all intents and purposes, mean it's not possible.
Right. And again, we're back to how theoretical this theory is.
Yeah.
Yes, the construction of a wormhole would require, depending on who you talk to, something like the output of 2/3 of the stars in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, their point is that nothing says this is impossible. It would be, especially to what they call a sufficiently advanced civilization, which they invoke to make these in all these discussions, to a sufficiently advanced civilization, this would be merely an engineering problem. There's no law of nature, no law of physics, so far as anyone knows, that would say it's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Our guest in this part of Focus 580 is David Toomey. He is the author of a newly published book, The New Time Travelers, A Journey to the Frontiers of Physics. It's published by W.W. Norton. He teaches technical writing and nonfiction writing at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. Questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Just I imagine there are some people who, like me, are sort of boggled with the idea of the wormhole. And just to try to talk a little bit about what this is, here's the way that I think about it. You can tell me if this is a good way of thinking about it, and it's something that makes it a little bit easier for people. Let us suppose, say, here I have in front of me, I have a piece of paper, a regular 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And if you, up at the top of the paper, right up at the top, if you make an X, and then all the way at the bottom of the paper, as you make an X, and you'll draw a line between the two, that's a long way. But if you take this piece of paper and you bend it at the middle, so that the top and the bottom are close to touching, then suddenly what happens is that, well, your two X's aren't that far apart anymore. Certainly not as far as they were before. And this gets us to that idea where we talked about, or you talked about in science fiction, people talk about doing something like this as a way of dealing with the tremendous distances you'd have to cover if you were going to travel and, you know, do interstellar space travel. The big problem is it's a long way from here to there. But if you could do something like this, if you could literally bend space in that way, thinking about it in that way, and that you're trying to go from X number one to X number two, if you could do that, well, you know, suddenly they're a whole lot closer together. And then if you could, in effect, construct some kind of a tunnel, a connection between the two of them, that instead of going all the way down the page, then you could just zip right across from the one place to the other place. And as far as we're talking about here, with constructing a wormhole to do this time shifting thing, is that pretty much what we're talking about?
Yes, that's very well done, David.
Okay,
that's exactly okay. It. Thank you for reminding us of that that illustration of a wormhole.
Okay, so then if we said okay. How exactly might we accomplish that? If people are thinking in a real sense, well, all right, if you were going to do that, if you were going to bend space-time that way and create this little bridge between the two points, how might you think about going about doing that?
Well, this is where all that energy comes in, and this is where the theory gets the theory gets pretty steep and pretty mathematical, as one might imagine. You would one scheme is creating a black hole in a laboratory, and there are a couple of ideas for how to do this. Alan Guth at MIT has talked about one in a couple of books of his. One warps space-time with gravity, and of course a black hole is gravity in the extreme. That's why the creation of a black hole would be necessary. In one of these schemes, the black hole would collapse in upon itself and appear in another universe, or if we did it right, another part of this universe, thus creating two holes and a tunnel between them. Now, how to turn this wormhole into the time machine and move one of those holes close to the speed of light for 10 years, if we wanted a 10-year time machine, that would be somewhat simpler in theory. One would just use something else real heavy to pull it around, just use good old-fashioned gravity to pull it around, or perhaps a magnetic field or something. This is the kind of stuff you do see in science fiction. Physicists have written about it.
Okay, well, let's talk with someone here, someone who is calling in on a cell phone. This is line number one. Hello.
Hi. How do you deal with the paradox, say, of I go back in time and tell the guy that invents the time machine?
This is the, or sometimes I think it's stated as the grandfather paradox. Happens if you go back in your time and you murder your grandfather, well, exactly. Then you would, if your grandfather's dead, then you never would exist. So how exactly do you do? And this actually, the various implications of time travel, this is also something that scientists have thought seriously.
I'm just going to hang up.
Sure.
You're gonna drop that one and hang up.
I feel like just hanging up myself. Yeah, go ahead. How, and I suppose that's one would say that that as people think about this the possibility of time travel, they actually have different ways of thinking about this question of what that does to the relationship of the past and the present and the future, and are these things immutable in a sense, or are they things that could be messed up if we could actually accomplish that?
Well, there's the great question, and thanks to that listener for introducing this one. The physicists have had a lot of fun with this, and as have philosophers. Essentially, there are two schools of thought on it, and we've seen this in science fiction stories and novels and films too. This is classically called, as you said, the grandfather paradox. If I go back in time, kill my grandfather, then my grandfather cannot have lived to sire my father, who would not have lived to sire me, who would not be here to go back in time and kill my grandfather. Therefore, my grandfather would live there to sire my father, who would sire me, who would then go back in time and kill my grandfather. And we see the problem. It is a true paradox here. Now, one of the physicists who takes more risks than perhaps some of the others in this book is a Russian-born gentleman named Igor Novikov, and his idea is that password time travel would of necessity be self-consistent, which is to say, if I could travel back in time, I might be able to find my grandfather and even try to kill him. However, I could not kill him. Something would go wrong. If I were using a rifle, there'd be a particle of sand in the rifle barrel. I'd slip, or a door would be locked. Novikov says it doesn't matter what would go wrong, but obviously, he says, something would go wrong because I'm here today. So there is the evidence that I did not kill my grandfather.
It sort of gets at this idea that says that well that the present has happened,
yeah,
and that there's no way to the fact that it has happened means obviously that even if you could go back in time, that there's no, you can't change what. See here, I'm back myself into a corner again.
Well, you can't change the past. Essentially, you might say.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Yes.
Right. And we've seen this in movies where figures go back in time and they try to change the past, and they aren't able to, and they come back and they see some evidence that they were in the past that they never noticed before.
Mm-hmm.
So it all becomes a kind of self-consistent loop. So that's one answer to the question. A second answer favored by a physicist named David Deutsch at Oxford, and Deutsch is a proponent of the many universes interpretation of quantum mechanics, which is to say every time a measurement is made, the universe splits. And this is about as mind-boggling an idea as I think there is. Deutsch would say if time, passport time travel is possible, then we travel to another universe. So if I go back in time, try to kill my grandfather, suppose I succeed, I will have succeeded in another universe in which I will not exist beyond the, well, except for me, the murderer,
mm-hmm.
of my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
He will die. He will not sire his son, who will not sire me in that universe.
Mm-hmm. Something, you know, there is, when it comes to the possibility of interstellar travel, this question of, is it, you know, can we imagine that beings could travel from somewhere else in the universe and come see us, for example? A long time ago, Enrico Fermi, he came up with this thing that has come to be known as the Fermi paradox, and he said, well, okay, if there's life on other planets and interstellar travel is possible, well, where are they? Why haven't they shown up? Someone apparently has, in regards to the possibility of time travel, in a sense, formulated a parallel kind of construction and said, well, if time travel is possible, then how come people from, you know, we haven't stumbled over people from the future, or they haven't stumbled over us, that we haven't actually seen some evidence of that being possible?
Right, right. And it is a very interesting question, and there are a number of possible answers to that. One might be that no time machine's been constructed yet, simply put. Therefore, all time travel, passward time travel to where we are, would have to be through pre-existing wormhole time machines or something like them. And suppose they're there, it's possible, but no one ever finds one. No one ever gets through one.
Mm.
It's possible that sometime in the distant future it's attempted and it's unsuccessful or proves dangerous or perhaps too expensive. Perhaps culture just becomes interested in other things. Perhaps there's a law against it, something like Star Trek's Prime Directive. And I think Star Trek does have a Prime Directive involved with password time travel. In some science fiction, too, and we call on science fiction for the answer here, there are time travelers all around us. They're just well-disguised or hidden by some means that is beyond our current understanding. A very sober possibility is that civilization itself just doesn't survive long enough to make to create a time travel technology. And another, in some ways, my favorite, it calls upon modesty in us, is that we're just not very interesting. That is to say, our civilization in 2007 is just not an intriguing destination for time travelers.
They would think that we were too boring and they wouldn't want to come here.
Sure, there are many other, given the entire lifespan of the universe, there are many other places and times to visit.
We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. Doing our best to be as interesting as we possibly can at this moment. David Toomey is our guest, and he is the author of the book The New Time Travelers, A Journey to the Frontiers of Physics is the subtitle. It's published by W.W. Norton and does indeed look at the fact that there are physicists who are thinking in a serious but theoretical way about time travel, about the possibility that such a thing could be possible and how one might accomplish it, and how it is that the laws of physics suggest that it would be possible, at least as far as we understand the laws of physics. They don't say that it's impossible. I think most physicists would say they don't say that it's impossible. Questions are certainly welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. We have some other callers next, so we'll talk with someone in Savoy, line one. Hello.
Yeah, this is real interesting. I got a couple questions. One is, you know, you mentioned that you could create a wormhole, you know, essentially in a laboratory and then have it form in another place in the universe and have a tunnel in between. So my understanding of wormholes, if you get too close to them, you can't get out of them. In other words, once you get over the event horizon, you're done. And then the definition of a wormhole is, at the bottom of it, it's infinite mass. And so no one knows what the physics are in the you know, even over the event horizon of a wormhole, because everything falls apart mathematically.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is I don't think time travel is possible, and there's other laws besides physics that govern the universe, and one of them is thermodynamics. And one of the key properties of the laws of thermodynamics is entropy, and time is a very good example of entropy. And it's one of the few properties that are irreversible if you go through the mathematics of that. And so it's not possible to reverse time.
Yeah. Well,
and then the other reason is it's been proven that the universe is expanding, and that's confirmation that entropy, is active in our universe, and disorder is expanding. And it's not possible to reverse it whenever you do the calculations.
Yeah, maybe you can, Dave, you could talk about this, reflect on
it. I'll hang up.
Because I think as we did mention, I think you did mention that there are, in this whole discussion talking about these ideas, that there are some physicists who would say, no, it's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. And that they would have particular reasons for saying no. It's really not backward, pastward time travel, just not possible.
Yeah, there are some who believe that this is a fantasy. But if I could answer the listener's questions,
sure,
in the order they came. First, the event horizon. Yeah, you're quite right to say a wormhole would have an event horizon. And Kip Thorne and Mike Morris knew this in 1988 when they wrote the first paper on designing a what they called a traversable wormhole. That is to say, one that would be safe for human travel. And they adjusted the equations such that one could be created without an event horizon. The number of other very nasty effects a wormhole would have on a human traveler as well. And Thorne and Morris found ways to work around these or mitigate them somewhat. Now, as far as the question of entropy is concerned, as I think I said earlier, time travel, passport time travel, as these physicists are conceiving it, would in no way reverse entropy. That does seem to be a rather, the second law of thermodynamics is one way to term it or redefine it, and that does seem to be a very, very solid physical law.
All right, we have a couple of minutes left. We have some other callers. We'll get in some others. Bement is next in line, line four, toll-free line. Hello.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree with the last caller. I believe that time travel is not possible due to entropy. But I was wondering if Mr. Toomey would answer this question. How is it possible for physicists to determine if any two events can occur at the same time. Can you respond to that? No matter how far apart the events are.
Well, the answer is they can't. Einstein's relativity shows us that there's no point in time without a point in space, and there's no point in space without a point in time. So, all but impossible to show that any two events occur at the same time.
Okay, I was also interested to know if
Events. I presume you mean events that are distant from each other.
Yes, and wouldn't the speed of light have to be involved in such a calculation?
Yes. And the speed of light and special relativity shows us that if you had. Well, we're kind of back to the twin paradox. It'd be impossible to know exactly how fast one's experience of time is occurring. So if you were on the other side of the galaxy and I'm here, and you're moving at some speed relative to me, our clocks would be ticking at different rates. So there'd be no way to know for sure.
Well, how close can any two events be so that someone can say they do happen at the same time?
They'd have to be, well, to happen exactly at the same time, if we want to be as strict as we can be here, they'd have to be at the same point in space and at the same time.
Couldn't you find a midpoint between two events and determine it that way?
Well, you could, and then you'd work the clocks backwards, and you'd find that because the clock of one is ticking slower than the clock of the other, there'd be no way you could really, really calibrate them.
Okay. So there really is no such thing as local time travel. In other words, if I wanted to go backwards an hour here in my house, I would have an effect on every atom in the universe. Isn't that correct?
I think you've lost me there.
You can't go back in time physically without having some effect on every atom in the universe, because every atom would have to go back in time with you. Isn't that right?
According to these physicists, what would go back in time would be what went back with you through the wormhole. And it is true that you'd probably catch some the all the molecules in the air in your vicinity, etc. But no, there'd be a
so you're
everything
saying
everything
local
can't,
time travel is possible.
Yeah, everything. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't say it's impossible. I would say nothing has shown it's impossible.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Let's try one caller here real quick in Champaign County, line two. Hello.
Hi, I need to go back to the beginning of the show. I have more complicated points than I can express in the short period of time left. So that's a joke. what about the this photon time thing? You didn't mention anything about this. I don't know, but maybe nobody's replicated it, but there's something. A researcher was putting photons through a material and was discovering that they were there before they should have been, and he was interpreting it as part of the quantum uncertainty effect, where you can't things can happen that aren't energetically possible because of uncertainty principle. So I was just thinking that there's an analogy to be made to that, and that these people are just not being skeptical enough. They're being too sure of their normal science in the sense of Thomas Kuhn's structure of scientific revolution that they aren't looking at the possibility that they're overinterpreting or something.
Mm-hmm. I'm vaguely familiar with the experiment you're talking about, but I can address your general issues. Yes, it's entirely possible that they're thinking in an old-fashioned way, and many of them are quite aware of this. What's interesting about the inquiry itself is that, well, the harder they push, the harder the more and more they find out about quantum mechanics and just how very, very weird that is. And there have been countless books written on quantum mechanics and how strange it is. Strange as it is, it does seem to under it is the those are the laws underlying the behavior of the universe we know. Yes, maybe they are a bit too straight-laced in their thinking.
Well, I mean, it basically takes on the idea of the problem with thermodynamics specifically, because in quantum physics, this uncertainty principle reaction can actually occur that are not energetically possible, and they say it's because of this quantum tunneling effect they've talked about. So from that point of view, if that happens in one case, it should be at least an example that we couldn't discount it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the grandfather thesis, or paradox is if time travel is possible, it has happened, and apparently they're being very good about their non-disturb principle, and we haven't had gross anomalies. So maybe we should go back before 2001. Thank you.
Right. All right. Thanks.
Well, we're at the point where time's arrow moves, and we're at the point where we have to finish. If you'd like to read more on this subject, you look for the book that we've talked about, The New Time Travelers, A Journey to the Frontiers of Physics, published by W.W. Norton by our guest David Toomey. He writes technical writing and nonfiction writing at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. And Mr. Toomey, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.